AmericanGold.com. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners who've supported us throughout the years and helped keep the radio stations going. I've had a chance to meet many of you face-to-face and enjoyed every minute of it. For two decades, I've worked hard to keep our service fast and our prices low, and will strive to keep going for another two. Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com have no commission salespeople, no free reports, and no complaints. Nobody here will call you when you sit down for dinner. There really is a difference. Call 1-800-951-0592 and find out for yourself. We look forward to serving you with years of experience. We know what we are doing and will make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
And let us consider... You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
This morning is Barry Shamish, who's an investigative reporter. He's Israeli. He's an Israeli citizen. Had to come to the United States because of threats against his life for reporting about the absolute corruption at the highest levels of the Israeli government. And so much of what's going on in the world today centers around Israel, around the surrounding countries, the war in Syria, American policy that is toppling government after government after government over there, and installing governments under Sharia law, and certainly then, as we did in Egypt, people elected a government there under the Muslim Brotherhood, and what do? Oh, it's a democratic government, so we overthrow it, just like we overthrew the government of Iran back in 1953 and got rid of Mossadegh. Why? Because he was democratically elected. And why are we involved over there? Well, we're involved over there because we want to bring democracy. Everybody knows that. We want freedom and democracy. And so often we install governments that create chaos. In Syria today, why Assad's secular government is defending the Christians and we're backing the terrorists who are killing the Christians. It all makes perfect sense. Well, at least to some people. Barry Shamish, you bring us up to date with what's really going on over in the Holy Land today.
Sure. I'm actually practicing. I'm going to be writing later today. And this is a new station. And you know the information. Don't be bored. This is what is happening in Israel in the past week. Now, it begins, it's quite a story, by the way. It begins with Carmi Gilon. Now, he was the director of the Internal Security Agency, that's the Shin Bet, during the Rabin assassination. Lo and behold, this week, Tel Aviv University invited him to speak. This was on Monday. All right. Darn, we all missed it, but there he was on Monday talking against rabbis who practice incitement. It's called price tag issues. Look, I'm not going to go into provocation and provocateurs and all this baloney, but in short, he was going to be an expert on rabbi terrorists. Oh my goodness. Look, Gilon, after the Rabin assassination, there was a commission called the Shamgar Commission. It's like war in times 100. I'd say every word in Shamgar was a cover up. war, and, you know, here and there they had some reasonable information. Not Shamgar. It was a total, complete whitewash.
No, Barry, I think it's important for people to understand that Rabin was assassinated, and this gentleman you're talking, in charge of Shin Bet, was instrumental and was deeply involved in the assassination of the...
He was a co-conspirator with
right.
Shimon Peres.
Okay, fine. So go ahead.
Deeply involved. My Lord, the guy was... Look, he was a murderer. All right, outright. Now, I'm going to tell you... by the way, the Shamgar Commission, in its kind of moment of peace, forced Gilon to resign. He was deemed responsible for the security oversight that led to the assassination. Right after that, the new prime minister, his co-conspirator, Shimon Peres, appointed him the ambassador to Denmark. And he was going to give a speech before he flew to Denmark, sponsored by the Jerusalem Post. I wrote Nadia Matar. Now, back then, she had enough... and I wrote her and I said, we can ambush Gilon. We can get him on Rabin. We've got him trapped. Get your people over there and we'll do a real first class ambush. And she did. And 100 or so of her people arrived. And I thought this was, you know, boy, I was so naive back then. I thought this was our chance. Nonetheless, I stood at the entrance to the talk. I wanted to stare at Gilon coming in. And lo and behold, he had to come in, and I stared at him, and he stared back at me, and he was genuinely stunned to see me, okay? Nonetheless, the talk began, and he told about his diplomatic philosophy, and I thought Matar's people were clever. No, they weren't. Matar wasn't clever. These are amateurs. They're involved in politics mostly because they see that their homes are being demolished. But they're amateurs. They treated him like a diplomat. Now, the editor of the Jerusalem Post then was David Horowitz. He knew me. I knew him. He made sure I didn't get to answer a question. He did everything to prevent me asking a question. After about 40 minutes of just junk questions, again, they treated him like a genuine diplomat, not like a murderer who was being given a post away from the action, away from the heat. It was becoming a triumph for him. You know, he was standing up to the right after 40 minutes. That included his talk. I said, to hell with this. Horowitz isn't going to answer me, and Matar's people are idiots. I just said, I put up my hand and I said, Mr. Gilon, and he looked at me, and I said, who murdered Yitzhak Rabin? You know, don't you? And you want to talk stunned when we met? Boy, I got him stunned more when I asked him outright, without saying, you know, I know you did it. He walked out. After 40 minutes, he stood up and ran out of the talk. And as he was running, I screamed at him, you're going to be investigated, Gilon. You're going to be investigated. That was a genuine event in my life. And now Carmi Gilon is being honored by Tel Aviv to lecture on rabbi terrorists. Oh, nothing has changed. You know, Elad Pressman, whoops, I hear the music.
Barry, hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Barry Shem.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of Scientific Instruments.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Barry Shamish. Barry, you pick up the story.
Yeah, on my radio show yesterday, Elad Pressman, Israeli journalist, a rarity who's, you know, got a chunk of the background, the real background. And I enjoy him very much. And what he said was, Gilon's speech is, it means there's going to be a major withdrawal. They're preparing the Israeli public for a major withdrawal, and they won't feel so guilty when Jews have their houses bulldozed. And you know what? That made some sense to me. That's what I think. You know what? I agree with it.
They're preparing. Basically, you're talking about them pulling the Jews out of Judea and Samaria, and just going in and bulldozing their homes there? Is this what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, house by house, it's coming up. Now, look, Matar, she runs an organization called Women in Green. And, you know, 20 years ago, let's say, it was rolling. It inspired young women to join them. Well, she was literally... There were no protesters left in the Gaza Strip in Gush Katif to face the army for the withdrawal. But she managed to get 2,300, mostly young girls. Again, today she can't get a member unless she's over 70. But back then, she inspired young women, and the issue was big enough, and they were going to face the army. And it was going to be a PR disaster. Well, something had to be done, and the army took a subversive, well, the army, the Shin Bet, the Secret Service, took a subverted Jew named Itamar Ben-Gavir, and he showed up with his gang to get rid of Nadia Matar from the Gaza Strip and prevent the demonstration. Well, the first thing they did is, remember, the Gaza Strip is very small, and an Arab village could see the sign his gang put up. It said, well, simply, Muhammad is a pig. Again, imagine someone showing up opposite your house, ringing the doorbell. You look outside, and you're facing a sign that says, Jesus is a pig. I imagine you would be provoked. Well, they were, of course. Within a day, there was violence, and in came the army. They blamed Matar and her gang for causing the violence to demonstrators, and out they went, all of them. And by the way, hundreds were sent to camps. Young girls, 16, 17, sent to camps so they wouldn't be a danger. The withdrawal became permanent. Now, needless to say, Itamar Ben-Gvir was behind the destruction of the last gasps of hope for the Jews of Gaza. Now, look at this again this week. All right, here's the background. A Jewish man went to a health clinic in an Arab town called Idibin. There was a security camera running. It shows an Arab getting up while pummeling him. He falls writhing to the floor and is taken to the hospital for treatment. In comes attorney Itamar Ben-Gvir, the subverted right-winger. I don't know what they had on him. I don't necessarily believe he was born to be a traitor, but that's what he was. He is, get this, here's the article. Attorney Itamar Ben-Gvir, who represents the man who was beaten, said in response, and here's the usual right-wing crap, President Peres, if a Jew had attacked an Arab, President Peres would have issued a harsh denouncement, and on and on and on. And then he says, when a Jew is attacked, it's just, if nothing had happened, hypocrisy rules. And then he demands that the full force of the law be brought against the attacker and for the victim to file a civil suit. Why is this guy still operating? Why is Gilon still operating? Look, there was a movie. In Hebrew, it was called Hamira Glim, The Spies. I think it is translated in English. Go to Google, look up The Spies, Gaza Strip, I guess, to make it clear. Nonetheless, Ben-Gvir is exposed, along with other known spies, Shlomo Avner, who is at the peak of his rabbinical career. Why did everyone get away with this? Why did the Jews rebel? How come Ben-Gvir can represent anybody, let alone a Jewish man beaten by an Arab? How come Gilon can speak at Tel Aviv University, the biggest university in the country? You know, I'm going to tell you that last night on my radio show, I had Chaim Kleinman, Nachman Kleinman. He was the rep for El Al. He was the PR representative for over 20 years. And he lives in Chalamish, Samaria. My Lord, the man is so deluded. A good guy. Don't get me wrong, but he's going on about Israel, which my country makes the best damn tomatoes you ever had, and they're selling our produce in Egypt with made in Lebanon stamped. I said, what are you talking? I'm so sick of hearing this blind optimism. I was in Gaza Strip week after week after week trying to wake them up. And they were talking like you, that our government would never do this to us and they can't do this to us. Well, they did do it to you. As Sharon would never do it to you. Yes, Sharon did it to you. There's a mental problem. All right. I don't know how. All I did was tell him the truth that Gaza's gone, northern Samaria's gone, and you're backing the government that pulled them out. Again, no answer to that. Just crazy stuff that we haven't given up the Gaza Strip. We still supply them with water and electricity. It's madness. In some way, they got to these people and made them insane. This is lunacy. But it hasn't changed. Not one little bit. Now, I'm going to give you an example. Look, I wrote about Itamar Ben-Gvir and Carnegie Lawn. It's not a secret to my readers. I also wrote about the Yom Kippur War. Golda Meir was prime minister, and she gave testimony to the commission of finding out why Israel, in essence, almost lost the war. And 3,000 of our finest young soldiers were killed in the first few days of the war. All right, here is, this, by the way, was only released last week. For 40 years, it's been buried. Secrecy laws, whatever, it came out last week. This is Golda Meir talking. I was in Israel during the 73 war. I would hope so. She was prime minister. And I witnessed troops being pulled off the street in Jerusalem into buses the night before the war began. And this was no surprise, really. The soldiers told me they were going up to the Golan Heights, but I couldn't talk about it. This conversation took place 18 hours before the war began. Someone is hiding something, because if I knew a war was about to begin, why didn't the Israeli government? Now, listen to this punchline from Golda Meir. There are rumors that there was a conspiracy between Henry Kissinger and a traitor within the Israeli government for Israel to absorb the first attack on October 6, 1973, to give the Egyptians back their prize so they would negotiate peace with us. That traitor, of course, was Moshe Dayan. I've been writing this for decades. Decades. It's now come out, and it was just buried away. The Israeli people are not disgusted that 3,000 of their best young men were killed, another 10,000 wounded, because Kissinger and Dayan cut a deal for Israel to absorb the first attack. I don't get it. I actually don't get it. Look, I'm not going to analyze. Meir was covering her ass. She was also involved in this negotiation with Kissinger, and she gave a hint to the Agronaut Commission. It's way deeper than that. But nonetheless, it came out. Now, after that, the Agronaut Commission blamed the IDF Chief of Staff, David Elazar, for, what it said was that he demanded a general call-up of the reserves, but Dayan denied his request. So what happens? Does Dayan get blamed? No, Elazar, he took responsibility for Dayan and Meir. He wasn't prepared. He bears responsibility, quote, for the assessment of the situation. Well, Elazar committed suicide shortly after, and he's buried on Mount Herzl in a plot adjoining that of Yoni Netanyahu. Elazar, his suicide was highly suspect, and Yoni Netanyahu's murder at Entebbe was highly suspect. What's going on is the Israeli people died in the thousands to cover this up. I tried, but it didn't work, to tell people, your government, they weren't prepared on purpose. They sold you out, and you paid for it with the loss of your sons.
In other words, the 1973 war was manipulated, and specifically to prevent anything from effectively being done initially, right?
Yeah, that's right. What can I do? Argue with this awful truth. What you have is some truth coming out, but the Israelis are too blind to accept it. Now, I'm going to go on. Dr. Stan, are you ready?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to go on with the next revelation that came out this week. And then I will end with the Syrian war, which seems to interest you more. Believe me, this interests me tremendously, and I'm going to spill it on paper. Well, it used to be on paper. Now it's on a computer screen. What do you say? Spill it onto my computer screen? Well, nonetheless, I'm going to be writing today. Yossi Beilin, again, he was the deputy foreign minister who got the Oslo Accords started. He was interviewed on Israel Radio, Reshet Bet, that's the second channel, Israel Radio, talking about his negotiations with the PLO that led to Oslo. About this, I know much. I'm not going to dive into it right now, what he said. Now, let's follow his reasoning. He said that Rabin was only made aware of the talks at the end of February 1993 after the second round of talks concluded with a working paper. That's a lie. Rabin started the talks after meeting with George Bush, the outgoing president of America, on September 22nd '02. To say that he didn't, I'm sorry, 92, terrible dates, to say that Rabin didn't know about it until February of 93 is just a lie. But let's, by the way, it gets worse. And once Rabin was aware of the talks, here's Beilin also lying. He opted not to consult with any security or intelligence officials.
Hold the thought. Including Elon.
We'll be back, after the
American Freedom Day.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783. Western Stone Company takes this time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
point that the leaders of Israel betrayed the residents, the Jewish residents of Gaza, forcing them out in this name of land for peace. And now they're doing the same thing in Judea and Samaria, and it's never going to work because the people who control the Palestinians don't want peace. They want to drive the Jews out of the Holy Land. But, of course, the leaders of Israel, despite the fact that they understand what's going on, are betraying the Jewish settlers. And it's just a terrible, terrible situation. And the plan is down the line to start certainly bulldozing down the homes there in Judea and Samaria, despite the fact that the Jewish government encouraged the Israeli settlers to move into those areas. So much of what's going on just doesn't make sense. But then so much of what goes on in America doesn't make sense, ladies and gentlemen. And just as the people of Israel are being betrayed by their leaders, so we too are being betrayed by our leaders who are sending our forces all throughout the world to fight for democracy on one hand and to topple democratic governments with the other. Well, before we go on, Barry, I wanted to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your material, how they can get your PayPal button if they'd like to help.
Sure. All my books, including Bye Bye Gaza, by the way, are at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. There's a little box right in my name, Chamish. C-H-A-M-I-S-H. You'll get to eight of nine of my books. The ninth, my latest, The Sting You're Not the Stung, is separate. Don't ask why. For that, you write Chamish, the stinger, not the stung. My website, and I'm very worried about my webmaster. I know he's not well, but the website hasn't been updated. Nonetheless, it's still barrychamish.com, and there's still a PayPal button, and if you support me, believe me when I say I'll never forget you. Now let's go back to Yossi Beilin and his interview on Radio 2 in Israel. All right, Rabin now is not consulting. To quote Beilin, security and intelligence officials were not advised of the existence of the talks. That, of course, means that Gilon is free of responsibility. All right, good old Beilin. He has now covered up for Rabin and Gilon, but not for Peres. And this again, all right, here's the quote first of all. Beilin explained that Foreign Minister Shimon Peres was also kept out of the loop because Rabin had insisted that Peres have no involvement in negotiations with the Arabs. I wrote this, oh my goodness, I wrote it from the beginning of this so-called peace, the Oslo peace, that Peres was kept out. Beilin ran the Oslo negotiations, and his boss, Foreign Minister Peres, was deliberately kept out of Oslo. When he found out, that's when I found out things too. Peres was furious, and he brought in the Vatican. It's a long story, but I have it right. And people, what can I say? My people, these Jews are so dumb, I keep telling them, Peres wasn't behind Oslo. Later on, if you want to get, you know, sophisticated, when he found out, he put in his gang from Rome into the Oslo negotiations, but he wasn't involved with Oslo. The Jews don't listen. It doesn't matter, left or right. Peres was a peacemaker. He brought us Oslo. It's a bunch of baloney. Who brought you Oslo was Rabin and Bush, followed by Beilin. Now, I'm going to read you. This is a reaction by someone named Lerner, Aaron Lerner. He sends me his report, has for many, many years. And again, he's a Jew who understands up to a point. He reprinted an article it was an interview with Yossi Beilin in Haaretz by Ari Shavit. I remember him as the only Haaretz writer who was fair to me. Now, this was right after Oslo got into full force in March of 97. All right, now Shavit says to him, now try and follow this. Shavit question, when you enter the Oslo process, was it clear to you that this was going to be a Palestinian state in the end? Now look at Beilin's answer. No. It is very interesting to note that the talks of the soul regarding where will this process lead took place only between the sides, not within them. Huh? Within the Labour Party and within the government, the negotiating team, well, there was no real serious discussion of the final solution. Huh? And Shavit was just as confused as all of us right now, said, I don't understand. At no stage did you ask where this was all leading to? Beilin answers, no. You never spoke with Rabin about the significance of what you were doing? Never. And with Peres, never spoke to him. Now, this, again, it's just covering asses. That's what Beilin is doing. But look, Shavit asked this question, all right? The question has to be raised. If the decision of Oslo were made with any rational process, look at this answer from Beilin. In general, there aren't rational processes. Rationality, in the end, is almost always rationalizing. Great. I see myself as an absolute rationalist, and I want to live in a rational world. I am simply not prepared to live in a world in which things cannot be resolved. What are we dealing with here? I mean, this in psychiatric institutes worldwide would be considered a man who is not got a grasp of reality. All right? That answer isn't hard, diplomatic, negotiating talk. It's utterly flaky. And this is who brought us Oslo. Now, the fact that Rabin had to be murdered to preserve Oslo, that's a separate story. But my goodness, Peres had nothing to do with it. He's telling the truth. The other stuff is total baloney. Did I lose you?
Yes. No. I'm right here. Go right ahead.
All righty. Be prepared. I'm going to write this up. I'm not sure how. It's actually what's going on is so nuts. It's actually going to be a challenge to write today's article. But all of this stuff came out in the past 10 days. Gilon talking in Tel Aviv U, Itamar Ben-Gvir representing Jews who... Oh, I hear the music.
We'll be back in just a moment here, and perhaps we can get to Syria, what's going on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Ari Shamish.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds us often child abuse results from parental stress or parental substance abuse. Help put an end to this tragedy now. Report what you know to your local authorities. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 482-6783. On the air, because they care.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Dan, and hopefully we're going to talk about Syria now. And basically, of course, Syria, remember about 3 years ago when John Kerry and Assad were having dinner together, and Assad was very, very close to America, and now we've launched a civil war there. America is financing in large part the mercenary army that's going to overthrow the secular government that is actually protecting the Christian element. And, of course, we're supporting the Islamic radicals who are killing the Christians there in Syria. About 10% of the population is Christian. But nobody here in America is really concerned. They keep telling us this is a civil war. It's about democracy. And if you believe that, you're incredibly naive. And just as in country after country, we are financing the radical Islamists. So we're doing that in Syria today. And the average American can't figure it out, but of course if Syria were to fall and the radical Islamists were to take control, they would take control of the chemical weapons and use them against Israel, which they hate. What in heaven's name is going on? What's going on over there just doesn't make any logical sense, but then we live in a world gone mad, ladies and gentlemen. Our leaders know exactly what they're doing. So right ahead, Barry.
Yeah, well, I wrote an article 2 weeks ago. It should have gone viral. Look, what you said is about right. The real target of the American attempt to attack Syria was Israel. It would have annihilated the country. I included in the article a WikiLeak. No one doubts that Edward Snowden's information was direct from the Pentagon. No one is saying he made it up. This is direct. It was a letter to the Pentagon. I don't have his name. I might, as a matter of fact, have his name in my article, but it's not clear. I do have a name, all right? But nonetheless, here is the quote. I spent most of the afternoon, this, by the way, is from the year 2011. Keep that in mind. I spent most of the afternoon at the Pentagon with the USAF Strategic Studies Group, guys who spend their time trying to understand and explain to the USAF chief the big picture. All right, and there was one French and one British representative at this meeting. There are abbreviations. We'll overcome them. Here's the quote. They want to grill me on the strategic picture. I want to grill them on the military picture. They said, SOF, I think the OF is for overseas forces. All right. But are already on the ground. Focus on RECCE, R-E-C-C-E, that means reconnaissance missions and training opposition forces. Remember, 2011, Americans were training the Free Syrian Army. One Air Force intel guy said very carefully, there isn't much of a Free Syrian Army to train right now. But they are told to prepare contingencies and be ready to act within 2 to 3 months.
No, the Free Syrian Army are the rebels. They're the radical Islamists, and we're training the radical Islamists. It doesn't make sense. Well, of course, nothing makes sense unless you understand this whole terrorist movement is being funded with our tax money. Go right ahead.
It actually all makes sense to me, actually. That's how far deluded I've become. I actually see their world. Their goal was to commit the FSA, Free Syrian Army, was to commit guerrilla attacks, assassination campaigns, and break the back of the Alawite forces. That was the American plan in 2011. Now, this guy, again, he's a lieutenant colonel. He's at the Pentagon discussing with other lieutenant colonels Libya. Now, back to the quote. It isn't clear that you can create an MFZ, that's a no-fly zone, over Homs and Hamas. Quote, this would entail a countrywide SEAD. AD would be air. Oh, my goodness. All right, an SEAD campaign, live with it. Air defense or something lasting the war. They don't believe air intervention would happen unless there was enough media attention on a massacre like the Gaddafi move against Benghazi. They think the U.S. would have a high tolerance for killings as long as it didn't reach that very public stage. Ta-da! That's what happened. Now, what he adds is, with Israel right there and the regime facing an existential crisis if we bomb Syria, he sees that as a major complication to any military intervention. Existential, I want to remind you of basic English. Existential means Israel wouldn't exist. It would be facing the end of its existence. And one of the lieutenant colonels understood that this problem, so we're not going to attack Syria, because if we do, Israel will be facing an existential crisis. Look, I wrote the article. It was called The Syrian Revenge Against Israel. If America had bombed Israel, Israel would have been blasted with at least 170,000 missiles from Syria, Hezbollah, and Hamas. It would have been the end. And that's what the target of Syria was. That is what the Obama regime was praying for. We bomb Syria, that's the end of Israel. And by the way, that doesn't take grand thinking. A lieutenant colonel figured that out, and it was sent via Edward Snowden to the WikiLeaks. I printed it. Why wasn't this article everywhere? I ask you. Why should I ask you? You probably don't have a better idea than I do. A lot of it is from one point. Israel is the victim here. Nobody's saying that. I am. And a lot of people don't want to hear it.
All right, Barry, I agree with you. Israel, I believe, is in terrible jeopardy today because of the policies of Washington, D.C. Nobody is telling the American people. We're out of time. God bless. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye. You got it. Bye.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of scientific instruments.
Well, Dr. Dan, and let me try to explain to you what's going on in Syria. We are financing radical Islamists trying to overthrow the government of Assad. And basically, Assad is a secular government protecting the Christians. We're supporting the radical Islamists who are killing the Christians. But, of course, our 80,000 men, that we're financing, the radical Islamists, are not doing very well. And Assad is being able to maintain the integrity of his nation. So we staged this phony attack. And whether this was, as has been suggested, poison gas that was given by Saudi Arabia to the rebels, or whether the CIA, whoever set off the poison gas attack, many hundreds of people were killed. Whether it was 300 or 1,400, we don't know. All we know is what we read in the newspapers. But we do know one thing, and that is it has never been absolutely determined that Assad did this. Yet we were all set to attack him, and President Obama was going to attack, send missiles and bombers over Syria and attack Syria. And he would have done it, but he couldn't get the backing of NATO. He couldn't get the backing of the Arab League. He couldn't get the backing of the United Nations. He couldn't get backing of the American people. And the vast majority of the American people didn't want to expand the war. I remember that Obama is simply a front for the Brotherhood of Darkness that really runs our country. So they needed an excuse to back away, save face, and they used this phony idea, Assad is going to turn his chemical weapons over in a week. Well, he's going to report his chemical weapons in a week. He's going to turn them over by the middle of 2014. And so that's all right. We've got to do away with chemical weapons. We support democracy. We need to support the UN covenant, so Assad has to give up his chemical weapons. Nobody ever points out where those chemical weapons came from. They came from Saddam Hussein. Where did Saddam Hussein get them from why we got them from the United States? We've got to get rid of those weapons so that people don't understand these are American chemical weapons transferred to Saddam Hussein back in the 1980s. And nobody in America will tell you that. Basically, nothing appears to be. Reality is usually scoffed out. Illusion is usually king. Had the United States attacked Syria, Syria would have launched an attack on Israel. Hezbollah would have attacked Israel. Hamas would have attacked Israel. 100,000 or more missiles would have rained down on Israel. It would have ended it. It doesn't make sense. Why would we allow even that possibility to take place? And then where are we going from here? Well, I believe, of course, there's going to be a war with Iran, which doesn't make sense. But one way or another, we're going to attack Iran down the line, despite the fact that all of this talk about the negotiations between the new Iranian leader and Obama, it's all talk, ladies and gentlemen. We're living in very, very dangerous times, because if we get into a war with Iran, Iran could retaliate against the United States with one nuclear weapon over the middle part of the United States and wipe out our electricity and take America back to the way we were in the 19th century. If you've not read up on the threat of an EMP attack, you need to. You need to get our 4-CD set and our
a DVD on the threat of an email.